And welcome, friends, to this, the Friday morning edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. Welcome to this Friday edition of our podcast, friends. It's been a great week here on the Grace Hour, if you've been listening. The subject, the theme, of course, of repentance, its place, its purpose, its relationship to salvation. We focused on the question yesterday, is it necessary for salvation? Is it a required part of our salvation? And we hope that you have been tuning in and learning about this great subject with us as well. Today we'll focus on the fruits of repentance, which I think is going to lead us directly into the fruit of the Spirit, as each of us who have made the decision to trust Christ have been born again of the Spirit. And of course, once that has happened, we learn this great truth about what it means to abide in Christ. And when we do that, we see the fruit that God wants to bring forth from our lives. So it should be hopefully a wonderful and enlightening broadcast. We hope that you'll stay with us and participate. The comment section is available to those of you that are watching and listening. And our first comment comes in from the Ukraine, where believers are in that country. Of course, we're always praying for the people of Ukraine in this present conflict, and we're praying for their safety, and we're praying for a conclusion of that conflict very soon. But thanks so much for joining us from the Ukraine. And you can join us as well, friends, with your comments and questions. Let's go to the comments section and join us that way. My name is Pastor John Love. Joining me in the studio on this Friday morning, Pastor Steve Schiavelli. We will be your host for today's Grace Hour podcast. And Pastor Schiavelli, let me just read this passage from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, because it speaks of the ministry of John the Baptist, and it says that he was preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And you go down a little further, and verse 8 says, John says, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." And he said this to, again, the Jewish people that he was addressing. "Don't think within yourselves, hey, we have Abraham as our father. But I say to you that God is able to, from these stones, to raise up children unto Abraham. But now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." So it's pretty clear based upon this passage that John's ministry, which was addressed to the people of Israel in preparation of their coming Messiah, was to prepare their hearts to acknowledge their sinfulness and be ready to respond to the Messiah when he appeared on the scene. A little bit different than the message we are told to proclaim to the world today, which is Christ and him crucified, and faith alone will bring you into a right relationship with Christ.
I think, Pastor Love, that oftentimes certain words in the Bible, they are defined by certain movements. And if we're not careful, they're not defined by actually what it really means, what the actual word metanoia means. Repentance is the word metanoia, and it simply means change your thinking. See, people are sometimes always equating it with changing your behavior first. I can't change my behavior. I first have to change my thinking. So metanoia means change your mind. Meta, change, noia, the mind. So changing my thinking. And if I change my thinking, that means I'm now doing what? Thinking with God. Okay? I don't just change my thinking based upon some religious format or something that's currently available to us in the media or in life or education, but I change my thinking based upon how God thinks. And this is so key. And so, the fruits of repentance are the fruits of a thinking change. Something has changed in my thinking. And let's just think about the fruit of the Spirit. From Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and Ephesians 5, 18 and 19 and on, it talks about different types of fruits. And I have 11 of them, okay? There's love. There's joy. There's peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And then from Ephesians 5, 9, there's three of them mentioned, but one's already been mentioned, which is goodness, but there's righteousness and truth. And these are the fruits of a thinking change. These are the fruits of the life of the Spirit. So the Spirit has a mind. The Spirit has a mind. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of the Spirit. It goes from verses 9 on down about the spiritual mind and how important this is. So how am I thinking? There's religious thinking. There's good human thinking. There's traditional thinking. All kinds of thinking that's out there, obviously. But yet, do we think with God? That's the key. That's really what doctrine is. Sometimes we hear that word and some people react to that word, you know, doctrine. Oh, doctrine is all about doctrine. What about the life of God? Well, doctrine really speaks about God's life based upon God's mind. God's mind, God's life. He says in Isaiah 55, 8 through 10, my thoughts are not your thoughts, so my ways are not your ways. So all the ways that we live are based upon the thoughts of God. If we're not thinking with God, you know, if we're not thinking with God, then we will not have God's ways. We will not see God's ways as fruit in our personal lives. How key this is. So changing the mind, the fruits of repentance. And we can see this taking place and happening in this life today, where people all of a sudden, they receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And when you receive Christ, don't you receive his mind? I'm pretty sure you receive his mind. You receive the person of Christ. You receive the person of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has a mind and thinks a certain way. So how can people go on living a certain lifestyle? It's because they haven't understood how God thinks, what God thinks. In other words, a drug addict continues to use narcotics, and he says, I've received Christ as my Savior, but now it's time for me to learn how to think with God, how to think with God so that my mind can be pure and clean and live in the holiness of God, and I'm thinking with God, I'm thinking correctly. And by the way, so what happens when ministries, this can happen in Christian ministries or in Christian lives, there's really very little relationship with the Bible. If the devil could steal something, if the world could steal something, if the flesh could cooperate with the devil and the world, it would be to remove how God thinks, to remove the Bible, get the Bible out of the way that God thinks. I mean, did they take the Bible out of schools? Yes, they did. They took the Bible out of so many different things. Take the Bible out of the church, you know, and let's just preach about all kinds of things other than what the scriptures say. And so this is the kind of Christianity we see that really can be permeating in this world today, and it's not thinking with God. So if it's not thinking with God, how can it have God's ways? Can't have God's ways. So repentance simply is metanoia. Change your thinking. Doesn't say change your ways first. It says change your thinking. And you're thinking correctly, that will produce the ways of God. The Spirit thinks a certain way. The flesh thinks a certain way. If I'm going to be spiritual, I've got to think how the Holy Spirit thinks in the Word.
Amen. I mean, it all begins, doesn't it, with 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation.
Yes.
It starts with that new creation,
yes,
which leads to a new way of thinking, a new way of processing life. And it just makes so much sense that you could almost say that repentance is synonymous with believing. Because when you believe, you know, you have indeed repented. You've changed your mind about Christ. And I love the fact that, you know, we're talking about the fruits of repentance, but really we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
And again,
right,
it's so important to focus on the fact that it's the Spirit of God that produces that fruit that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Those 11 fruit of the Spirit are the work of the Spirit.
Exactly.
And you can't have the work of the Spirit without Christ coming into your heart. So you're seeing the fruit, yes, of the Spirit through a faith that results in changing our minds. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, he says, don't you know that the unrighteous, now think about who he's talking about, the unrighteous. Who does God say we are? The righteous. We're the righteous ones.
Yes.
So he's talking about the unrighteous. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. He goes on and says, don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then I love these next words. And such were some of you. But now you're washed, mm-hmm, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I mean, doesn't that sum it all up?
Yes.
We used to be unrighteous, and we could have fallen into any one of those categories, that mm-hmm, those mm-hmm, sinful categories that the Apostle Paul outlined, but that's what we used to be. But now
we say goodbye.
We say bye, goodbye.
Bye.
It's in the
bye.
Rearview mirror, isn't it?
Yeah.
That lifestyle. Now,
yeah,
that's not to say, and we've said this, I think, throughout the week, Pastor Schiavelli, that believers still possessing an old sin nature, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, will deal with that struggle. The sin
war,
will try, yeah, to rear its ugly head and try to take advantage of us. And we're warned in the Scripture, don't make a provision for it. But it is there, and Christians will still struggle with, mm-hmm, it. But it's not what they are. It once was their identity, but now they have a new identity in Christ, and they will deal with sin from time to time and then need only to confess it and to be cleansed from it.
The spiritual life is so important. Think about, I read 11 to 12 commands of the Spirit. They're actually in the command tense, some of them, you know. In other words, it's not like an option as God sees it. Number one, be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. Be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. Number two, be led by the Spirit, Romans 8:14. That the Holy Spirit that fills me, the person of the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit that wants to lead me. My decision makings, how I'm guided in my life, led by the Spirit. Number three, do not grieve the Spirit. And the word is an interesting word. It means he suffers loss. He suffers the loss of your fellowship. So that's grieving the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Then he says in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit. Order your activities based upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who lives in you. Then you war, Galatians 5:17, we war by the Spirit. There's a war going on. How do we fight the battles? Through good flesh against evil flesh, against the devil, or by the Spirit of God? So we war by the Spirit. Then in Galatians 6:1, we're restored by the Spirit. You that are spiritual, you're meek, can restore your brother. Restore by the Spirit. You sow to the Spirit in Galatians 6, verse 8. You sow to the Spirit. I like this one because it was the first message I ever preached in Africa. Luke 4:16-21, we live in the authority and the power of the Spirit. Jesus came, he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Then we're anointed by the Spirit, 1 John 2:20. Then we have the fruit of the Spirit, which we are speaking of. And that's in Galatians 5:22-23. Then living the life of the Spirit. So much is said about the Spirit of God in the Bible, about the Spirit. So if I live according to the flesh, the mind of the flesh, and by the way, the most dangerous part of the flesh is the good side. We know the evil side, you know, okay, oh, that person committed murder, there's adultery, there's drunkenness, there's drug use, there's all these different things. But like, what about just doing good things without God?
Yeah.
See, they look good. They look good. And certainly for society, there is help as far as making society better by good flesh, of course. But it's not God. It just isn't God. And so there's the problem, the good side of the old sin nature. You know, the person's religious, you know. And what did Jesus say to Nicodemus? He came and, you know, he's approaching Jesus and he says, you must be born again.
Yes.
Not you could be, not you should be, must be. You must be born again. And then 3:30 of John, he must increase, I must decrease. I like the must in there, okay? And that's really interesting. It's a necessity, it says. The word is DEI, a necessity in the nature of the case. So the Holy Spirit. Now, can you imagine people living or trying to live the Christian life without God? Without God. How do you, who wrote the Bible? The Spirit wrote the Bible. 2 Peter 1:19-21, 2 Timothy 3:16. So who can obey the Bible? The flesh can't.
Right.
If the Spirit wrote the Bible, it's only the Spirit that can obey the Bible. And that, this is what happens. People try to obey the Bible without God. You know how frustrating that is? You know how legalistic a person can become because maybe they do some good things and they see other people that do not. And then they start to judge them and condemn them and say all kinds of things about them. But it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. This is so key.
Yeah, there's no fruitfulness in our lives without the ministry of the Holy
Spirit. Nothing.
I mean, there can be, you know, you can change your behavior, you can improve upon the flesh, and you can try to, you know, wrestle it into conformity to the standards that are imposed upon you. But the bottom line is, you're not going to change without the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
You know, you need to be a good person. Like that, I remember this because I worked in prisons for 10 years, okay? And there were people that were there that were psychologists and doctors and, you know, I'm talking about educational doctors and whatnot, and always trying to change people. You got to go from being bad to being good. You got to be a good person, you know? And they were trying to make that happen in the energy of the flesh. And it just did not work. You know what? Because the Bible's very clear, sin is sin. So you're a liar or you're a murderer. It's still sin, okay? And so here's a person who thinks they're a good person and they're good in the flesh, dealing with a person who's bad in the flesh, and there won't be any results. Or you might get them to change their ways to keep themselves out of prison, per se. You know, but it's like it's far beyond that, you know?
Yeah. When you hear somebody say you need to be a good person, that's what needs to be repented of.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That's where real repentance comes into play.
Change your thinking. Yeah,
change that attitude, thinking that you can do something to merit or earn God's favor. Now, we may be addressing some people today that's saying, now, wait a minute, you're just talking about faith in Christ as if that alone makes you right in the sight of God. And we would say, that's right. That's exactly
right. Positionally, right.
Yes. Now, some would say, well, what about James when he wrote his epistle? He said, you know, faith alone doesn't cut it. You know, faith without works is dead. And then they will even say, he even cites Abraham and he cites Rahab in the Old Testament, suggesting that these people were somehow justified by their actions rather than by their faith, which we know is simply not the case.
Right.
Abraham was justified in the eyes of God in Genesis 15:6.
Believed.
He believed, and righteousness was placed on his account.
Yeah.
Genesis 22 could have happened almost 20 years later where he offers Isaac. And God didn't say after he offered Isaac or was willing to offer Isaac, oh, now I know you're really saved.
Yeah.
What he said was, now I know how much you love me.
Exactly.
That's a big difference.
Big difference.
So the justification came in Genesis 15:6. With Rahab, the Bible makes it very clear, Hebrews 11:31, she believed God. And because she believed God, she hid the spies. She didn't hide the spies, and God says, I'm going to save you because you did something good.
It's a faith that works.
Exactly.
It's a faith life.
And how does that faith work? But by love, which is the fruit of the Spirit, which we ourselves cannot produce, but God does through
us. Only God can. And this is a very misunderstood subject today because people that think they're spiritual are trying to get people to be spiritual, and they're using all kinds of systems and religious forms to make it happen through works and all that, and that will not take place. It's the It's the Holy Spirit coming into my life. Now I need to think with the Spirit. This is the key. It's for me to bear fruit. See, positionally saved, okay? But maybe nothing is taking place yet in the person's life. And I think without a church, without reading your Bible, without fellowship with other believers, I don't think a whole lot is going to happen in the person's life. But when a person is born again and they are there in their position, they're saved and they've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, the blood of God has saved them. Now they need to be in a place where they can grow.
Yes.
I need to grow. Like a child is born and doesn't stay a child his whole life. The child is supposed to grow and whatnot. And this is where the life of the Spirit comes in. This is so key. So born of the Spirit, now living by the Spirit, living in the life of the Spirit. And the Spirit wrote the Bible. But I mean, I wonder why people haven't put that together. There's a lot of people that have not put that together, and they are saved. And there are movements out there, but somehow they neglect the Scriptures. And they talk about legalism or the letter. The letter kills, you know. Yeah, but the Spirit gives life, you know. Spirit gives life to the Word. This Bible is written to us by the person of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So what's on the Spirit's mind? So can I say I'm a spiritual person? Oh, I'm spiritual. Yes, but this is going on in your life. So I'm spiritual. I'm born again. And they don't see how the Holy Spirit can work in their life to change things, you know? You know, you can stop using narcotics. You can stop drinking. You can stop living in fornication and adultery. You can stop having wrong thinking in your mind. You can stop the envy and the jealousy and all the sins of the flesh by allowing the Holy Spirit. Of course, and we fail. We understand that. But by the Spirit, we rebound.
That's right.
We rebound by the Holy Spirit. And this is so key, the spiritual life. And why are so many people trying to live the spiritual life without the ministry of the Holy Spirit?
You can't live the spiritual life without the Spirit.
You can't. You can't. It's just so simple to understand. But yet, because works have been so embedded in us, you know?
Yes.
What did you do? What do you – when you meet somebody, what's the first question they could ask you? Usually it's this question, what do you do for a living? Like, what does that mean? What do I do for a living? Why don't you ask me about life? You know, life in me. So they're concerned with what you do for a living, and once they find out what you do for a living, then they categorize you. And then now they've got you pegged as a certain type of a person. What do you do for a living, you know? And so the Holy Spirit is not even thought of. You know, sad to say.
What we do doesn't determine who we are,
yes.
Does it? And, of course, we're not talking about a salvation apart from anything but the grace of God. Paul made it very clear, and I know that our listeners are very familiar with this passage, but he said, by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But then he goes on to say, and because we may have some tuning in and listening today, he says, well, what about good works? What's the place of good works in the life of the believer? Well, he said, we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. If you ever get that mixed up and you start to think that you're saved by your good works rather than saved by God's grace, and then good works are the fruit of your faith, you're in a lot of trouble, because now you're operating in a merit system. And that, what you just said a moment ago, is so important for us to understand. Most people are raised with a merit mentality.
Yes.
And that has to be replaced by grace thinking.
Yes.
If grace it isn't, thinking. You're going to get really confused.
Think about the school system. You know, they don't like understand sometimes or too often your capacity at all, but they're grading you. I often wondered about grades, you know, but I won't go into that subject right now. But, you know, it was so interesting, you know, like A, B, C, D, E, F, whatnot. And, you know, but my capacity is maybe not as high as this person's capacity, you know. So now I am being downgraded because I don't have the capacity, and God gives you the capacity, you know, and whatnot. And I can see when people just are not disciplined and they don't do their homework, they don't do the studying, they just don't do anything, and they could. I'm talking about people that do the best they can with the capacity that they have. And so it's like, okay, here's a person like, you should be a pastor, somebody says to them. I've heard people say that. Like, wait a minute, did God give them that gift? Do they have the capacity to be a leader? You know, you should do this or you should do that, you know? And So thinking with the Holy Spirit, thinking with the person of God, this is so key. I cannot obey this book outside of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know, I can in the flesh, but that's going to end in frustration, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I'm going to get worn out, or I'm going to get legalistic and condemn other people that don't do what I do.
Yes.
You know, so I'm going to get either worn out or I'm going to wear other people out, you know, mm-hmm. one or the other.
I think we just have to be so careful that we don't set ourselves up as judges in other people's lives.
Yes.
Or we could say it a different way. We're fruit inspectors. You know, I need to see fruit from your life. I mean, I often think of my own experience. I honestly believe that if you looked at my life, maybe a few months after I came to know Christ, maybe even longer than that, you might reach the conclusion that I was not born again.
Yeah.
But you would be making an evaluation based upon sight, because my heart was justified by faith before God.
Yeah.
And again, God, yes, it goes without saying, God loves us just the way we are, but he loves us so much, he's not going to leave us that way. And it's his responsibility mm-hmm. to change us, right?
Absolutely.
If it came down to, listen, I believed on Christ and now I'm on this journey where I have to change my life. No, God changed us by taking us from Adam and placing us in Christ. Mm-hmm. And now the Spirit of God continues to change us. Wasn't that the Galatian problem?
Sure.
The Galatian believers first heard the gospel and said, amen. But then at some point they said, okay, God gave us the ball. Now we are the ones that have to run with it. God forbid that we would fumble, right?
6 years. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel.
Yeah.
So soon. People say it was between 6 and 7 years and that was it for their grace thinking, the grace message.
Yeah.
It was over, you know? And, by the way, twice he called them non-thinking ones. Foolish.
Yes.
Oh, foolish Galatians.
Yeah, idiotic.
And then he said to them, who has bewitched you? See, Satan wants to use demons to bewitch people into wrong thinking.
Yes.
This is what takes place. And so they have their whole different mindset about the life of the Spirit. Think about how many movements are out there that want to say that this is the evidence of the Spirit. This is the evidence of the Spirit. This is the evidence of the Spirit. The evidence of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit, being filled and led by the Spirit. You know, it's so interesting. So the enemy is out there, and he's out there to bring in error.
Wow.
Bring in error and, you know, say this is, you know, if you're spiritual, you'll do this. If you're spiritual, you'll do that. No, it's like what God has done. I begin with what God has done.
Wow. And isn't our responsibility, doesn't it come down to this, that we just have to keep receiving
yes.
what it is that God gives us. I mean, you think of Paul wrote to the Colossians and he says, you know, as you have received Christ, so walk in him. Well, how did you receive him? By faith. Well, walk by faith
yeah.
and walk by means of the Spirit and yield your lives to the control of the Holy Spirit. It could be crystallized in that one word.
Yeah.
Paul used that in Romans chapter 6. Yield, right? Or how
yeah.
about this one? Let this mind be in you. Or present your body as a living
right.
sacrifice. All of these words seem to sum up what our responsibility is. Yield to God. Let this mind do your thinking from now on. And, you know, present your body as a living sacrifice in light of what Christ has already done on your behalf.
Look at this verse that people kind of skip by very easily. As many as received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that are called by his name, as many as received him. Okay? They asked a woman one time, she was 103 years old. They said, what's the key to you living so long? They were looking for like her diet and certain gymnastic physical events. She said, keep breathing. I'm 103 because I've kept breathing. I just keep breathing in air. Stop breathing in air. You're gone. You know, they were looking for some other kind of answer. Like, is it all vegetables? Is it all this? Are you working out? Have you, what's going on? What's your genetical line? She goes, you just keep breathing. just keep breathing. And we keep receiving, right?
Yes.
This is how we live the life of the Holy Spirit. Keep receiving from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit manifests himself in the Bible, in the body. Okay. In the finished work, I have three B's, the Bible, the body, and the blood. Okay. Keep receiving from the finished work. Keep receiving from the Bible. Keep receiving from the church, the body of Christ. Okay. Just keep receiving. If I do that, then, you know, there's no doubt I'm going to live a spiritual life. But once I think I've made it, or I think I know something, and I stop receiving, then before you know it, pride comes in, and we begin to look at other people and whatnot. And so how important. We got something from Pastor Bamuni there, from up there in Burkina Faso.
Yeah, he said, I warmly greet Pastor Shibeli and Pastor Love.
Oh,
I bet he does.
I know that one. Did he say warmly?
He said warmly.
Wow.
Yeah, because it's over 100 degrees there most of the time,
Oh, God. You know what? There's one place, I think Sebastian knows something about this, but you could actually see a windshield burst because the windows are rolled up in the car, and before you know it, the windshield can crack. I mean, you know what I did one time? I used to fry eggs on a car. I didn't say I ate them. I just would just
it crack was that
egg.
Hot.
It was that hot on the surface of a car, especially a black car or a dark blue car. You could fry an egg right on, you know. I know you love heat, so. Really interesting. But you know what? There's a man of God. He's been receiving. He's been receiving and receiving for how many years? I don't know if he's been in the church since the 80s. He's been in Greater Grace World Outreach Ministries. Oh, you're talking like, you know, 45 years.
Yeah, wonderful brother. Wonderful brother.
It's amazing. And they have churches everywhere. I don't know how many churches. He can tell us how many churches in Burkina Faso. I think there's at least 20 to 25 churches. I'm not sure the exact number. But he's done a great job, and they love him in West Africa. Mm. He goes to Senegal. He's in Togo. He's in Benin. He's in Ghana. He's in the Ivory Coast. He's in Senegal. He's all over the place, you know.
Yeah.
Probably even more places than that. But really, a great example. And he's, you know, the most interesting thing. I saw him one time preaching, and he had the microphone in his hand. And he's on crutches because his legs. What happened? Something, some accident happened. But he's on crutches, and he's got the microphone, and he's got the Bible in one hand, the microphone in the other hand, and he's leaning on the crutches. What a sight to see in 110 degree weather. You look at that. And he's got this big overcoat on, too. And I'm like, oh my God, how does he do this?
And he's an amazing, wonderful preacher.
Great
too.
Preacher, great example of a tremendous believer. His wife, Celine, have a great ministry in that country, and their ministry extends. 20 churches in Burkina Faso.
Yeah, that's what he's telling us.
Yeah,
20 And he churches. Says, thanks for the precious word you've shared with us. Your teaching, inspired by the grace of God, strengthens our hearts, encourages our faith, and renews our vision for the work of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Bamuni. Great to hear from you. And Pastor Shibeli, let's talk about how this fruit of the Spirit is produced in our lives. Jesus taught in John chapter 15, it happens when we simply learn how to abide in him.
That's an interesting word, abide. Just it's the word meno. I'm just waiting on God. I abide in him. I remain in him. I remain in him. And we, well, of course. I mean, God will never leave me, but I can leave God as far as my experience goes. But I abide in him, abide in me, and I will abide in you, and you shall produce fruit.
Yeah.
There's this abiding that produces fruit. You take a plant out of the ground and you throw it in the refrigerator, it's over. It's finished. That plant's, but when it abides in the sun and the rain and the soil, that plant will continue to keep growing and grow. So abiding is so key.
Yeah.
Abiding in a Christian, abiding in the word, abiding in the ministry, abiding in the church, abiding in the body of Christ, abiding in grace, abiding in love, abiding in all these things that produce fruit, abiding in the Holy Spirit.
And he brings out that wonderful illustration that we're the branches, he's the vine.
Yeah.
You just got to be attached.
Yeah.
You just got to be attached.
Yep.
And you will bring forth fruit. And it's interesting, too, because now there would be some that would read that passage and say, yeah, but if you're not fruitful, that's when men come, gather you up, and throw you into the fire. Well, you know, and they would suggest to us that that's like saying if you're not fruitful, you're going to get thrown into hell.
Yeah, really.
But where in the Bible does it say that men gather you up and cast you into the fire? doesn't. All he's talking about in the context of that passage is if we are unfruitful. In the eyes of people, it's like branches that fall down in my yard all the time that I got to go around, gather them up, pick them up, and get rid of them.
Get rid of them, yeah.
Just because they're just not attached anymore to the tree. Well, that's kind of like an unfruitful Christian as he's perceived by the eyes of those in this world. Yes. In other words, you talk about faith, but there's no evidence. Well, the evidence comes forth when we just simply learn how to abide in Christ.
Amen.
And then there's that love, joy, peace, contentment, right? Gentleness, meekness, faith. Against such, there's no law.
And we're going to grow. I mean, sometimes somebody will say, well, I don't have this peace in my life. Yes, but you have a foundation of it based upon the Holy Spirit. I just need to yield to God, say yes to God. Here's a situation that seems to be crazy that's going on in your life. You need the peace of God that passes understanding. So don't fellowship with what's going on. Fellowship with God who gives you peace, you know, and then that peace will pass understanding, and then you'll be able to make decisions. So it's so important, this fruit of the Spirit, the spiritual life, and as we went through some of those things before, without it, I'm just left with myself. I'm left with Mr. Good Self or Mr. Bad Self, you know. And both of them have been crucified with Christ. Mm. You know, the good and the bad were crucified. One thief on one side, one on the other. One was bad, one was good. Everybody got crucified, you know, whatnot. So the things that I do that are good, without God, they mean nothing.
Yeah,
I mean, they can make society better. I'm not saying that, okay? They can make society better, you know, if there's a culture that has no thieves, no addictions, no drugs and whatnot. Maybe the society can be better. But in the eyes of God, they're lost. They're still lost and whatnot, and they don't come up to what God would have them to be.
Mm. Go back to what John the Baptist was saying. You know, if people listen to his message and they made a decision, okay, I'm going to repent. I have been living a life that is not pleasing to God, not acknowledging God, not looking to God, a life of ungodliness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, they could say, I'm going to change the way I've been living and prepare myself for the Messiah. But they would be doing that without the Spirit.
Exactly.
They would be doing that under the dispensation of the law. And we know that by the works of the law, no flesh is ever justified in God's sight. Mm-hmm. So it's really John's message of repentance was addressed to a specific people at a specific time and has no relevance in the life of the believer other than an unbeliever has one responsibility, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they're saved, and then they have the option of living a life in the Spirit.
You know, there's a marriage between the flesh or self and the law. You know, and it's an ungodly marriage, you know. For good flesh will try to obey the law and then say, look at what I've done, you know. Not look what God has done. That's so key. Isn't it interesting, Pastor Love, and I always bring this up, three murderers wrote 60% of the Bible. Moses murdered an Egyptian. And by the way, not just murdered them, but hit them in the sand, right? David killed Uriah the Hittite, committed adultery, and Saul of Tarsus was going after the church and persecuting the church. And it's interesting because God changed their lives. When the Spirit came into their lives, they were totally transformed, totally changed. And that's what needs to take place in a person's life. Not just that they change their habits, not just that they go from a bad person to a good person in the natural, but they receive the person of God into their life. The Holy Spirit comes in and they're born again. They're born from above, okay? And then the Holy Spirit begins to work in their life. They get their Bible, which the Spirit wrote. They go to church, which the Spirit, you know, is right there in the body of Christ, the Spirit in the body, and changes take place.
Yeah.
And some people want to change, see the country change, see the family change, see these things that are going on in the world changing. No, only God does the changing, you know. And a lot of human effort is spent on trying to change culture in the world, and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Or it could work for a while to kind of present some kind of deception that the enemy produces. But then it just goes right back to the same old thing.
Yeah. It's so clear in the scripture. The Apostle Paul outlined it for us in his epistles that faith alone justifies you in the sight of God. Mm-hmm. James, in his epistle, he was saying your works justify your faith in the eyes of men.
Yeah.
So unlike what some people have suggested, that Paul and James were having a conflict with one another, or that James was trying to undermine Paul's doctrine of justification, it's not true at all. They were actually dealing with opposite foes. They were standing back to back, not facing each other in a battle, doctrinally speaking. But James was saying, listen, if your faith is genuine, it will be demonstrated by your works. And we say amen to that. Yeah. But Paul said, you're not going to have any works unless you're justified by faith.
Yeah. Well, even the word faith, pisteuo, P-I-S-T-I-S or P-I-S-T-E-U-O, really speaks of action. It's not a word that's just there and standing by itself. There's activity to it. It's not passive. It's an active faith. Faith speaks of action. If it's really God's faith, something's taking place, not just like head knowledge. By the way, Satan believes.
Yeah, trembles.
And trembles, okay? He knows, but nothing is ever put into activity. We have Bible class tonight, by the way. We have Bible college on a Friday night in the summer. Tonight we'll be speaking about the word and wisdom and doctrine and discipleship.
What time?
6 to 8.
Free?
Free!
For anyone.
And a prayer meeting from 8 to 9 if anybody wants to stay.
Praise the Lord.
6 to 8. Jesse Fires will be with me teaching part of the class. And every Friday night we have class all the way up until middle or end of August. And every night there'll be two teachers teaching, myself and one other person. And when I'm not there, somebody else will be teaching. But all summer long you can enjoy not just Wednesday night church service, but you could come on a Friday night and get involved with a Bible class.
Amen. Well, as we close our podcast today, friends, just a quick reminder that we have a faith that works. For those of you that are, you know, they're focused on works. Yeah, we have a faith that works, and it works by love. God's Amen. Love makes that possible through the power of His Spirit. Well, that's the conclusion of today's Grace Hour podcast, friends. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed all of the podcasts throughout this week, and next week we have a great week of podcasts prepared for those of you that will be listening in the week following that. Well, it'll be the International Convention here at the Baltimore Church at the Greater Grace World Outreach. We hope you'll make it out and join us for that as well. God bless you. Have a great weekend, and we look forward to being with you next Monday at the same time.